Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is good to have you with us once again as we hit the midway point of the work week. I'm not sure how it is in your house, but in my house, all three bodies, all three beings, are within 4 square feet of one another. Do you all travel in a pack in your house? Because we travel in a pack in my house. Once I put the chair in front of the desk, or as we call it, the after-hours super secret home studio, once the chair is in place, I cannot move again. So rest assured, I am in the spot for the next 4 hours. With my big hair, don't care. Oh my goodness. I'm so glad that tonight, I mean, I'm really glad of this pretty much every night, but I'm so glad that tonight has no video component to it whatsoever. The humidity is starting to creep up in my neighborhood, and we're supposed to have some temps in the mid 80s to then low 90s between now and the end of the week. So by Sunday, the temps are supposed to break a little bit, but with the humidity, my hair grows outward as well as it is getting longer. So it looks more like the shape of a football. No one needs to see that. But as I've told you, big hair don't care for the quarantine. I did actually write an email on what is today? Tuesday. And, tried to schedule an appointment for my hair salon, my favorite hair salon that will be reopening on June 22nd. And I know better than to ask for an appointment right away. So I've asked for an appointment in the first 2 weeks of July. By then, who knows what this mop could look like. But those are problems that we can laugh about, right? Problems that we can share and compare. And it doesn't matter. I just don't even care anymore. But it is funny to look at my hair in the mirror and think, whoa, I don't even recognize the hair that's on my head from what it was when I started working from home. And I know many of you are in the same boat. It seems like pretty much everyone I talk to, whether personally or professionally, has some story about how they've tried to cut their hair, or how they've decided not to cut their hair, or how there was a hair cutting accident, or how they can't wait to get their hair cut. Maybe the number one topic of the spring. Maybe we could probably make a list. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. It is our hump show, middle show of the work week, and we are live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you can do that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It is a staple of the middle show of the work week. And in addition, you can find us on Facebook, and you're looking for the bright orange box, looking for that favorite color of your host. And that's how you know you can post your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So we'll do that during the middle hour of the middle show of the work week. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Yet another day of protesting peacefully in many places. And the pictures are powerful around the country. They really are. If you see, whether you use social media or whether you're just Googling photos, the AP obviously puts out a lot of photos. However you are following the news, TV is another option. But the photos of the thousands and thousands of people in major metropolitan areas who are peacefully protesting, to me, it's incredible to see. It's often in our nation's history, in global history, but just in general, it's so often in human nature that it takes tragedy, whether it be a natural disaster or a man-made disaster, a terror attack. In this case, police brutality against a man who would still be alive if not for the way he was treated by law enforcement. But you could come up with any number of tragedies and adversities and painful incidents that are part of our nation's past. And again, part of our global past. And so often it's those incidents, those times that bring us together. And I know you could call it irony, but I like the way that George Floyd's young daughter put it. I don't know if you saw the video. It's short. She is on the shoulders of, if I'm not mistaken, Steven Jackson, former NBA player, but it's hard to see him. So I don't want to say that for sure. I know her uncle, George Floyd's brother, has also been outspoken and has been part of peaceful protests. But there's a short video, you need to turn up the audio to be able to hear it, but it's very clear, of George Floyd's young daughter on the shoulders of, as I say, a man that I think is Steven Jackson. And she says, with wide eyes and a smile, which I think is just incredible, "Daddy changed the world. Daddy changed the world." And I am equal parts moved by it, the powerful message, but also the poignance of it and the fact that this young girl may not even realize the implications of losing her dad. And of course, she would rather have her dad. I mean, who wouldn't rather have their dad as a young child? And it's also painful for those reasons. And yet here is this young girl who is smiling, not because it doesn't matter, but because she's got a different perspective. And the people around her are giving her a different perspective. And there's this look of triumph. And of course, she doesn't understand the implications of everything she's saying or everything that's happening. She's too young for that. But despite everything her family is going through, there's still this choice for them to look at the positive and the inspiration. And of course, in their private moments and some of their public moments too, there is pain and there is suffering and there is distress and there is despair and there is anger and there is frustration and there is confusion and there are questions. We all go through those things when we lose someone, especially when it's senseless. It's a senseless tragedy that didn't need to happen. I really didn't spend much time on social media on Tuesday, a couple of posts for the show. But I find that there are times when it's actually detrimental, not helpful. And so I'm careful the time that I'm spending on social media. But I'm so glad I saw this message from George's young daughter. So I hope you'll watch the short video. It's easy to find. You just have to Google it. And Dave did confirm for me, thank you, Dave, that it is Steven Jackson that's holding her up on his shoulders. And we know that he's been outspoken and also well-spoken, inspirational, and calling people to action and trying to underscore the major issues. So there's a lot out there that you can choose to look at, a lot out there that will move you, maybe inspire you, give you some ideas, maybe cause you to be introspective. And by you, I just mean you collectively. That's me too. I spent some time thinking about it, praying about it, wondering about it, talking to people about how we go from this point as a nation. But as I was saying, it's often that it's tragedy that will bring us together, unify us. And there are times, let's be honest, where that unity dissolves quickly. Where it's all based on emotion and there is no action to follow. It's emotion, but there's no substance to it. And I hope that's not the case as we move forward. I hope that George Floyd and the others that have been part of this conversation recently hope that they did not die in vain and the sacrifices of their families have long-reaching effects. And so the emotion at some point will run out because that is also human nature. You can only keep up this type of high-intensity emotion for so long. What follows after that? What comes after that? We talked to DeMario Davis, Saints defender, on the show not that long ago. Gosh, I think it was actually in the weeks after the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. So it would have been in that month between the end of the Super Bowl and the sports world shutting down and going into hibernation. And he was fantastic. I mean, some of the lessons that he has learned as a veteran in an NFL locker room, but also as a man, where he grew up, how he grew up. It's just an incredible conversation. I think it's, Dave, did we put it on our YouTube channel? That may have been one of the last things we put on our YouTube channel before we were unable to, because of our limitations with our crew and with equipment and all that jazz. We haven't been able to do anything with our YouTube channel since we went into the super secret location. But I loved talking to DeMario and I learned so much from him. And I was pleased to see him on NFL Network as well. And I like what he had to say. It was kind of along the same lines as you know, where I'm coming from, is that very often it's these tragedies and these painful moments in our nation's history that bring people together. Now, can we see the change follow? Can we see this turn into action, this emotion flow into action that will have lasting effects?
9/11 changed the way that we do airports. You'll never walk in an airport and it'll be the same. It was changed as a form of protection. You know, we'll never allow that situation to happen again in our country. And that's what we need to do around policing. You know, we need to change the way that we police it so that we won't have these incidents come up again.
DeMario Davis on the NFL Network. Daddy changed the world. It's simple. Little bit of hyperbole, unless it's true, unless it turns out to be true. So I have been watching and listening and reading and thinking, contemplating, praying, of course. And there are a few ideas that I have kind of written some notes about and that I've heard other people talk about. So I definitely want to get to those because I think that whole theory about why kids should play sports when they're young, that idea that you can learn so much from being part of a sports team, even going back to third grade Little League, which was my first experience as and I hesitate to call myself an athlete. I use that term loosely, but just athlete in that I was part of a baseball team. Was it baseball? I don't know if it was baseball or softball. I don't remember. But I do remember there was a photo of me. Oh, my gosh. My hair sticking out in all directions with a red hat far too large for my head and a red uniform with gray pants. And, of course, had the stirrups. I was so proud. I loved that uniform. And that was third grade. My first experience with playing a team sport. And the lessons that you learn as a member of a team, if you take them to heart, they can stick with you. And I think they can apply to the need for collaboration that we're seeing right now. And it was kind of cool to see some other athletes and even some coaches talk about how the NFL is a great microcosm of society and how an NFL locker room works so well together. Not always. Obviously, families have their issues. They have their conflicts. They have their debates. Sometimes they even have their fights. And yet, in an NFL locker room, you've got so many people. If you think 53 on the active roster, practice squad another 10, maybe more, guys who are rehabbing, guys who are healing, you've got coaching staffs, you've got training staffs, you've got support personnel, you've got the bosses, the general managers, the scouts, yada, 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 on and on it goes. I mean, you talk about potentially 100 people that are part of the operations of a football team, an NFL team. And it was cool to hear and see some football athletes on Tuesday talking about how racism has no part in the locker rooms and how that's a great kind of microcosm for how we can operate as human beings. Now, does it mean perfection? No, there's no such thing. Not on this earth. There's no such thing as perfection. The idea of we all need to love each other is a wonderful one. I love the concept. It's just not possible. We can certainly make changes in our own lives, but we can't force other people to make changes. So there's it's never going to be perfect. There's never going to be a utopia. We don't live in a utopia or a utopian society. But we can certainly make changes, and I believe that people can change. I believe that hearts can change. And I was thinking about it. What did I learn from playing sports? Whether as a third grader, where the lessons are a little simpler, or whether as a high schooler, a college athlete, and even now, observing and talking about, reporting on what happens inside locker rooms and clubhouses. So that was kind of cool. I like that idea. So I want to develop it a little bit. And I thought I would throw it out there for you. If you played sports, if you coach sports at whatever level, it doesn't need to be pro or even college. What do they teach you? It's such a wide open question. And I think it can be really powerful. What did we learn from working as teams or working with teams? And if you played an individual sport, you still had a coach, right? You still, individual sport being, say, tennis or golf. And yet in the high school and college levels, you still operate as a team. So I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts, your ideas. What did you learn from playing sports? Because I think we can apply them so often to the other challenges that we face in our lives and in our societies. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And while you're there, make sure you send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We will get to that coming up in a couple hours. We're really excited to have the play-by-play voice of the Washington Capitals 2018 Stanley Cup champs. Maybe one of the coolest runs I've ever seen, and hockey gives us many of those. But John Walton, the recognizable pipes, he's looking ahead to the return of the NHL, as we are. And speaking of returns, the NBA has a plan on which it will vote come Thursday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That is the voice of Ryan McDonough, former Suns general manager. Orlando it is, that part we know, but what about the numbers, the dates associated with the NBA's potential return to play? Even though we've kind of heard some of the deets, and we've heard the time frame, now that there's an actual number of games, or excuse me, number of teams and actual dates put on paper, it kind of blows me away. I'll share what we know. It's not a done deal yet, though it is expected to be voted on by the Board of Governors, which is the various NBA teams coming up on Thursday. And that's after they hear the final proposal from Commissioner Adam Silver. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us for our hump show. We've got a question out there that I'm not sure I've ever asked in all of my years of doing sports radio. And it's been a lot of years. I don't know that I've ever asked this question before. Sometimes I regurgitate questions. Sometimes I put questions in different forms. I don't know that I've ever asked this question before. But I was thinking about it in light of what I heard from DeMario Davis and even from Vic Fangio, the head coach of the Denver Broncos. I think Dustin Fox, part of our Cleveland affiliate, former OSU football player, Ohio State, excuse me. I kind of was thinking of this theme of what we learn from playing organized team sports. And it's like that book, Everything You Ever Needed to Know You Learned in Kindergarten. Well, there are a lot of lessons that you can learn about communicating and working with other people and accepting people who are not like you by playing team sports. So what did you learn from participating on a sports team or coaching a sports team? On Twitter, After Hours CBS, there's a spot up there that producer Chris has made available. And then you can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We've got a spot on our Facebook page as well. And really quickly, before I get to the NBA proposal, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you again for sharing the positives, the highlights of the first 5 months of 2020. I went back and read them on Twitter and Facebook this afternoon when I woke up. And so many of you not only shared your triumphs and your personal victories and the things that you're proud of and the joys of 2020, as hard as it's been, but you then supported, encouraged, and liked other people who had posted on the same thread. There was one man who shared about how his wife is now breast cancer free. And I think there were like 50 people that not only liked his post, but then went ahead and commented and encouraged him. And I think that's amazing. I mean, it's a weird Facebook sports radio community, and yet we've got one. Same thing with Twitter when you all go and read the threads of other people. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for supporting other listeners to the show. I'm glad we can all come together as listeners to After Hours, or maybe just as users of the Facebook page. But either way, you're together. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Here's what we know. According to multiple reports, a 22-team format is what the NBA is proposing for its return. Now, we had heard everything from 16 teams, which would be the top eight in the East and the top eight in the West, according to current standings. So they would scrap the rest of the regular season with 16 teams. That was the bare minimum. 30 teams was also a possibility. And then pretty much everything in between. 30 teams being everybody in the NBA would come back and at least finish part of the remaining regular season. The NBA settled on something in the middle. So Commissioner Adam Silver is going to present this proposal to the teams, to the Board of Governors, on Thursday, and they're expected to vote. 22 teams, the top eight in each conference, East and West, based on current standings when the season was frozen in time, going back to March 11th. And then it would include six teams that are within six games of the final playoff spots. There's only one team in the East that fits the bill, and that's the Washington Wizards. I do not know whether or not we'll see John Wall. I mean, people that have reported on the Wizards have indicated that he's unlikely to play. So Washington would be the only team within six games, within shouting distance of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. In the West, New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Sacramento, Phoenix. So that's an extra half dozen teams to go along with the 16 that are already in the playoff spot, in the playoff picture. Now, they hadn't clinched. Only a handful had clinched, three in the East and one in the West. But they'd essentially be leaving out eight teams. And there's a couple of reasons why. As much as it would limit the risk to only bring back the bare minimum, 16 teams with their personnel and the players, and put them in Orlando, that would mitigate risk as much as possible, right? But it also limits the amount of money they can make. I saw a report from Adrian Wojnarowski. He said that owners believe, the NBA believes, that by bringing back 22 teams and doing either a play-in tournament or doing, you know, just kind of the rest of the regular season, if they do a round robin, however they might work it out, they stand to make a couple $100 million extra. By bringing 22 teams back instead of 16, that, my friends, is called incentive. Here are the dates. This feels like a gut punch still. I hate it. I don't get it. But this is where they are. They're proposing July 31st. Not until July 31st. That's another 2 months. All the way through June and July. And it kind of fits the timeline of the NHL. The NHL cannot return to its training camp of sorts. So teams can't get together and start training in their own markets as groups until July 10th at the earliest. So both the NHL and the NBA are looking at still another 2 months before they return to actual games that count. And here's the last date that I'll share with you. October 12th. Seriously, October 12th would be a potential game 7 in the NBA Finals. There's so many parts of that that are crazy. And I'll share my reaction to that. But the season would finish up, well, would resume, would finish up then between July 31st and October 12th. Ahem. Right in the middle of month 2 of the NFL season. Oh, man. I thought October was busy in the past. So 22 teams, July 31st to October 12th, that there was a game 7 in the NBA Finals. And they're voting on Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome in Bob Uessler, who joins us from his super secret home base. Bob, we're asking our peeps, of which you, I hope you would like to be one of our peeps. We're asking our peeps what they learned, a lesson they learned from playing team sports. What did you learn?
Well, playing team sports and coaching team sports, I've done a little of both. The coaching was at, you know, on the youth level, obviously. I never got into coaching for real. But playing team sports, I think the best thing to learn, Amy, or the thing I learned most, is that when you go through the quote-unquote process with people you enjoy being with and you do manage to accomplish something, you never forget it. It's just when you can do something collectively as a group and win championships at any level, and I'm not saying that I did that, but I did play with enough groups of friends, teammates, organized sports where there was some success involved, and you've run into those people years later, and you never forget just the experience of going through it. And I try to impart that to my own. I have two sons, and when they were playing youth sports, try to make them enjoy just the experience of it as much as trying to get, you know, better at what they do. Because let's face it, Amy, you well know, as I do, that not many of us have that elite athletic skill that you and I make livings from observing and watching. We know what it takes. You know, the vast majority just want to go out there and enjoy themselves when you first start out in organized sports. And so, really, it's just a matter of enjoying that process of going through it with others and enjoying, hopefully, collective success. And if it's not collective success, just enjoy what you're going through as a group.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. And it's kind of that laugh with those who laugh, mourn with those who mourn idea. And when you share it, that experience, you have a bond that is really not one that you can find anywhere else. And so that's amazing. The team concept and working together to accomplish a goal, that's powerful and it bonds you for life. That's great, Bob. Thank you so much for being our guinea pig. I like it when you're the guinea pig.
Yes, so. always willing to play that role.
Awesome.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of Warriors head coach, former Bulls NBA champion Steve Kerr, who's gotten a lot of airtime lately, and he's a great interview, so it's no doubt. But 97.3 The Fan, our CBS Sports Radio affiliate in San Diego, with that particular conversation, and Coach Kerr, along with others in the NBA community, praising Adam Silver and his leadership for the way that he navigated the not only the start of the sports hibernation, but really the sense of urgency as well. As opposed to waiting for other dominoes to drop, many people praise Commissioner Silver because he doesn't mind being the first. In fact, I think he likes setting the tone. The NBA likes to be the first. Now, will the NBA come up with the right plan, the right fit for returning and finishing the season? Is a powerful question with no answer, right? Because that's where we are. Sports in 2020, life in 2020, there are no answers. It's just surreal to me how coronavirus and COVID-19 and the impacts, even the reopening that is going on around the country, and that includes my neighborhood. I know for many of you, it's your neighborhoods as well, how that's been pushed so easily off the front pages into the back burner by what else is happening in our country right now. I guess I hadn't given it much thought what might actually push the virus from the front, from the front lines, from the top stories, the top headlines. But in my wildest imaginations, I couldn't have thought of this. And we'll see. Dave and I were talking about this before the show. Again, no answers to this. But we'll see how the virus numbers go up, go down, remain steady over the next month. Not only across the board, but also in places where there have been thousands of people gathering to protest. And from what I've seen, most of them are wearing masks, but it's difficult to be distant, to maintain your 6 feet when you're talking about protests of 1,000 people. So it's fascinating to me the way these two social movements, just for lack of a better phrase, are colliding. We still have this pandemic and a national emergency. Even as some places reopen, you do still have daily cases of the virus, though they are coming down. The numbers are coming down, which is amazing to see in a graph form. Fewer deaths, but we've already seen so many people who have gotten the virus and had to go through that process. And now you have the reaction to the death of George Floyd and peaceful protests, which, as I continue to say, are different than looting and violence. The peaceful protests with thousands and thousands of people, all colors, shapes, sizes, ethnicities, backgrounds, all over the country. I hope that it doesn't cause a resurgence in the virus. I hope not, because the protests are important and there's really no way to do it without maintaining the caution and the distance that we've been asked to maintain over the last couple of months. I would hate that the virus would be a product of people coming together and exercising their right to protest. That would suck. I mean, life is not fair, but come on, that would stink. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thoughts from deep within the nether regions of my brain. If you would like to weigh in, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line at CBS Sports Radio, sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. 855-212-4227. What did sports teach you? What are sports teaching asking you. I don't want to assume that everyone who's listening is no longer playing sports, because many of you are, many of us are. Some of you are coaches. We have a lot of coaches who listen and follow the show, and that's awesome. Many of you played at the college or semi-pro level. Others of you played in Little League or youth soccer, but we can always learn something from participating in team sports. Why? Well, because at its very basic level, it's communication and collaborating with other human beings. Can that be underscored as any more important than right now? I don't think so. With everything going on in 2020, if we can't communicate and listen and connect and collaborate and work together, we're sunk. And it's only going to get worse. But sports can teach us a lot. So what did you learn from playing sports or coaching sports? A lot of you weighing in on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And then if you want to share your thoughts on the NBA's return to play. But here's the part that blows me away. July 31st would be the return date. 22 teams is what they're looking at right now. I don't know how much they're going to limit personnel. I'm not exactly sure. But at the very basic level, your NBA teams have 15 guys on them. Coaches, training staffs. Even if at limited numbers, let's just go ballpark 30 people associated with each team. And I still think that's a small number. That's a conservative number. 30 people associated with each team. And then you bring back 22 teams and you throw them all in Orlando. Now, we know that not all of those teams are going to make the postseason. Okay. So the idea is that you would have the top eight teams in each conference and then the other six that are within six games. And whatever format they choose, whether it's round robins, whether it's a play-in tournament, eventually they, or maybe it's just regular season games, but without all 30 teams, you'd have to change the schedule. So I'm not sure how they would do that. However they choose to get to the point at which they move forward into the actual traditional postseason, you're going to, at the start, and this is my estimate, okay? So I'm just guessing 30 people, players, coaches, staff per team, 660 people that are using the same facilities in Orlando and that are staying not necessarily in a bubble, but are staying pretty darn close to home. And you may remember, I talked about this, I think it was last week, actually. The weeks all blend together, I know, for me and for you. Jerry Dudley had spoken to the commissioner, Jerry Dudley from the Lakers, had spoken to the commissioner as well as to the head of the union, Michelle Roberts. Both of them have said they're not planning on sequestering the whole NBA community. Okay, so they're not planning on forbidding athletes, coaches, and the like, from leaving the Orlando facilities. Okay. They're not saying you have to stay in your hotel. They're not saying you can never go anywhere else. No, they're saying you do it at your own risk. And that when you leave the bubble or when you come back to the bubble, the pod, the hub, there's so many different things we could call it. Well, then you have to get tested. You have to go through the daily health and safety checks. So let's say they start with 650 people, roughly. And after a couple of weeks, you're down to 16 teams in the playoff format. Okay, there's still several hundred people. Do they all stay together? And as they play seven-game series then, and teams move out of the bubble, it's essentially a war of attrition, as any playoff run is, survive in advance. But you have the extra pressure of being, I don't want to say stuck, but being required to stay in Orlando, and not just in the city of Orlando, but pretty close to this hub. Practices, games, shoot-arounds, film rooms, training facilities, hotels. Whether they're dining rooms, I mean, Florida has obviously reopened over the last couple of weeks. But do you want to be the player that takes the risk of going out and then coming back and maybe putting either your ability to play on the line or, worst case scenario, getting the virus and affecting your teammates? So that's one question. I mean, it's a lot of questions, but kind of one question about just the health and safety and guys staying in place. That many athletes and support staff and coaches staying in place for maybe weeks. And then even as they trim down the number of teams and would get to the NBA Finals, now we're talking about late September, early October. Fewer people, but think about it. They've now been in this Orlando hub, this bubble, quote unquote, for months. Whether they choose to have their families or not, maybe their wives, maybe their girlfriends, maybe some of their own support staff, but kids start school. You're not in your home market except for the Magic. And so where school is starting, even if it's in some cases remotely, I mean, your families have lives. Can you really bring them into the bubbles? The bubble, the bubble, the bubbles. I like bubbles. So there's that idea. The winner, the two teams that get to the NBA Finals, but the winner would potentially be wrapping up 10 days into October. You'd have to stay months in Orlando. At least it's nice. It's Florida. And then you'd have to turn around and be ready to start the season 2 months later on Christmas. There's a lot of questions, a lot of pieces of this that have to be ironed out. I don't know how it works.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.